it's magnified, guess what happens? It gets bigger. Yeah. So we start magnifying the Lord. In other words, talking about him, talking about his goodness, talking about his love, talking about his grace. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And all doubt has to leave. Thank you for this word today, Father God. I thank you for the anointing that's upon your word. Thank you for the anointing that you've been given to me, Lord, to minister this anointed word. That we have ears to hear what you have to say today, God. That the words that I speak would be seasoned with love. And it would be words that would come from your heart, God. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Today's message, I want to title it, Walk It Out. Walk It Out. Have you ever had anything in life that you just had to walk it out? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to start off talking about commitment. And commitment means the state or quality of being dedicated. And in the society in which we live, it's sad to say among Christian folks, commitment has lost its value, has lost its meaning. And, you know, that word seems to carry little meaning anymore, where it's more popular to live life any way you want to without any commitment. Because commitment takes dedication, and it takes consistency in any relationship. And in the world in which we live today, relationships aren't valued like they used to be. Family is not valued as it used to be. Because we just kind of, people just want to cast people aside and no commitment to stick with them in the long haul. And a lot of times we see this in marriage, you know. We'll just either live together or get married and see if it works, you know. And so if it don't, we'll just get a divorce. There's no commitment. There's no dedication. And not saying that there's times that you should not leave somebody. But a lot of times, it's there's no commitment there, no dedication, no in it for the long haul. And so, we talk about feelings. You know, God gave us our emotions, but they have to be reined in by the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, because emotions are a good thing, you know. Our emotions, you know, a fear, we don't run out in front of a train, because guess what will happen? You're going to die. You know, so our emotions have to be reined in and controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. So feelings will come and go. And any relationship requires a daily walking it out. Loving a person on the good days, loving yourself, loving God on the good days and on the bad days. Because not every day is going to be the way we want it to be. Amen. So the same can be said of our relationship with God. There are times when you feel great joy and excitement about being a Christian. But what if your relationship with God is tested? How are your feelings going to handle that? How are your emotions going to handle that on the days that you as a Christian are tested? When people say, well, if God said that you were healed, why are you sick? If God said that you were blessed, why you don't even have two nickels to rub together? You know, so what are you going to do at those times? What are you going to do with your commitment to God? And your relationship with God at that point, are you going to go by feelings, you know, or are you going to go by what the Word says, that I am saved, no matter what my feelings says and no matter what anybody else says about it? So there are times when the feelings are not there. You just don't feel saved. On those days, you don't get to say, well, that is it. I'm not going to follow Christ anymore because this relationship's not working out. I'm just going to give it in and throw in the towel and quit. So the Bible does not say the just live by feelings. Amen. It's Romans 1:17 tells us very plainly, the just shall live by what? Faith in the Son of God who died and gave his life for us. So the just shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. So with assurance that we can, through the problems and difficulties of life, we who are God's faithful people, we Christians, the church, talking about us, walk means to pursue a course of action or a way of life. It is how one moves along in the course of life. Life is one step at a time. And all the way, you know, we read through the scriptures and we can find a list of people who walked it out. Oh, we go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, where the word tells us God walked in communion with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve walked with God in communion with him in the garden. They walked with him. Abraham took a hard walk with his son Isaac when he was off, when he was supposed to offer him. All walks are not easy. Moses and the Israelites took a victory march, took a liberating walk out of Egypt to the Red Sea. And then what happened when they got there? They walked right through it because God parted the waters. The main thing is to keep walking. And when you get to that Red Sea, God will part the waters. We don't quit because the enemy's breathing down our neck like the Egyptians were them and say, well, we're at the Red Sea, so we're going to quit and give up and surrender. No, we keep pursuing. And you may have to put that one foot in that ocean, but as soon as you tap it, the Red Sea is going to part. You're going to walk through on dry land. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what about Joshua's triumphant walk around the city of Jericho? So sometimes you may have to walk it out more than once. Sometimes you may have to do it two times. Amen. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you may have to do it three times. Keep walking. Keep walking and keep praising and keep magnifying. They had to walk seven times. So what? Then there was the walk on the way to Emmaus. Paul, what about Paul? Out persecuting Christians and killing them. He had an interrupted walk to Damascus that changed his life. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost that interrupts our life, that interrupts our walk sometimes and say, hey, what are you doing? Hey, that's not the right decision. Let's bring yourself back in here. So sometimes the Holy Ghost comes along and interrupts our walk, and praise God for those times. But the most notable walk was the walk that Jesus took to the cross. The most notable walk that was taken for all of humanity was the walk that Jesus took to Golgotha to give his life so that we could have life. He walked it out all the way to the end. Even before he was crucified, he said, Lord, Lord, may this cup pass from me. But he was willing to keep walking because he knew he had a purpose, and that's where his purpose was going to end. Amen. So through all the walks we read about in the Bible, we found out that God was walking among them. And so we can learn from that in our walk in life, whether we have the feelings or not, whether we have the Holy Ghost bumps or not, we know that God is right there with us and we're not walking alone. Amen. And they never walked alone in the scriptures either, and neither do we. So in the times we walk our walk with God when we don't feel it, we know that the Word tells us in Ephesians 13:5, for he God himself has said what? I will not anyway fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Isn't that awesome? I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Wow. So whatever position you're in right now in your life, keep walking. Don't quit, because God's never quit on you, and he's not going to. So don't you quit on him. Amen. Relationship with God takes commitment, takes consistency. And God's never going to give up on us at times when we just say, God, that's it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm not going to talk to you about it. God's got big shoulders. He can handle it. He can handle it. So we're going to talk a few minutes about two guys. And one of them we're going to be talking about. The Bible tells us about a man who walked with God for many years. We know this man by the name of Enoch. You know who I'm talking about, right? So what little we do know, which is very little, it does contain some great information and great things that we can learn from. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked his course of life with God. Genesis 5:21-24 tells us, when Enoch was 65 years old, Methuselah was born. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. That means it was a consistent fellowship with God after the birth of Methuselah, 300 years. Now you think most people live between 70 to 100 years. Some people live over 100 years. We think that's a long time. Well, how would you like to live 300 more years after you had a son? That's a long time to walk with God. Amen. So he said he walked with habitual fellowship. He made a habit of walking with God. And had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch was 365 years, and Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him. In other words, he habitually kept fellowship with God, and it was time for him to go. He just walked right on to heaven. Woo! What a way to go. Amen? Why? Because he kept walking, and he didn't quit. He was in consistent fellowship, relationship with God. So at the time Enoch lived, just before God's judgment of the world by the floods, you got to understand the period in which Enoch lived. Times was really dark. You know, so we can look out there now, and times are really dark in this world, in case you haven't heard the news lately. In the world, I said, but not in the kingdom of God, because all is well. Remember the word that God gave us that time says, all is well in my kingdom. Whose kingdom are you in? If you're saved and born again, you're in the kingdom of God, manifesting that kingdom in the earth. So guess what? All is well in their world, in our world, rather. So as we look at this life of this man, there are three things that we can learn that I want to talk about from his life that will help us as last day believers, and I believe we're in the last days, as believers who are living in a dark time, as I just said, as we can see on the news or just hear people talking. The first thing we see is that he walked with God, as I said. So what does it really mean to walk with God? Well, in chapter 3, verse 3, the prophet asked, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So in your walk with God, you've got to come into agreement with him. And what his word says, if you want to live in relationship with him and in victory and in peace, you've got to agree with what his word says, whether it makes any sense or not, or what anybody else says or does. So to walk in fellowship with God, in that relationship with God, you have to walk in agreement. 1 Corinthians 6:16 tells us, for we are what? The temple of the living God. When something is living, that means he is active, it's alive. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. There's that word walk again. And I will what? I will be their God, and they will be my people. Woo! Hallelujah. We are the temple of God. The kingdom of God rests in us, and we are walking out that kingdom in the earth right now. Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? When you are holding hands with someone, have you ever had somebody be holding hands, especially with your child, and they get distracted and you're not expecting them? They could be stronger than you realize. You'll be walking along in harmony, and all at once they are distracted and you're going this way. How many times do we that in life? We're walking hand in hand with God, agreement with his word, and all at once we get distracted. So we're all rolling, running off over here. And God said, hey, come back over here. This is where I'm at. This is our walk. Let's walk this out. So together gives the idea of two people moving in rhythm together. When you are moving in rhythm together, there is a balance. And the enemy of our souls don't like balance because there is power in balance. And so if you ever had people that wants to get way off over here, that their head is so much in the clouds of religion that you're just like, oh, or somebody gets way off over here and they don't believe nothing. There's no power in that, but there's power in balance. Why? Because you're walking in rhythm. You're walking in purpose. Amen? Wow. So in other words, which means unanimously or agreement, in other words, can two abide, work, or fellowship together unless they be in agreement? Have you ever worked in close proximity with people at a job and nobody agreed with anything how it's done? You know, been a nurse stayed at the nursing home and you get these people on the floor and you're going, where on earth do they get these people at? You know, so you're not getting anything done and you're getting frustrated. Why? Because they're not walking in harmony. They're not walking in agreement. This is the way it should be done. And it makes your job a whole lot easier. It makes our life a whole lot easier when we get into this book, which is our roadmap, and began to walk in harmony with God. And sometimes our frustration and our feelings and wanting to quit is because we're not in harmony with the Word, which is going to cause power, which is going to cause our walk to be less frustrating. The next thing we see in the life of this man is he was well-pleasing to God. We don't try to please God by our works because he's already done it. So how do we live a life pleasing to God? Coming into agreement with his word. Hebrews 11:5 said that this man that we're talking about, he had a testimony that pleased God. How do we please God in our walk? Like I said, it's not to get his favor or earn anything. The way we please God is to walk in the truth of his word. You know, it pleases God when he sees his children being obedient and trusting his word. And says, you know, Daddy God, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you're going to work this out, but I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose to trust you and to believe that you're going to work it out. Amen. So that's how we please God. He pleased God by walking with God habitually, being in fellowship with him. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those what who earnestly and diligently seek him. That's how you please God, walking in faith, amen, and believing that his word, he does what he says he's going to do. That's how you please God. You know, just say, you know, I believe you, Daddy God. I believe that you are who you said you are. I believe that you love me unconditionally. That's how you please God. It's just childlike faith. And how so many times that we need to come back to that. Come back to the basics of simply having childlike faith, which simply is just believing God, no questions asked. No questions asked. God is pleased when we exercise faith in believing who he is, who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. So we have the opportunity in this, in our walk with God, as we walk it out. Every day we have the opportunity to do that. Every second of every day we have the opportunity to do that in pleasing God. The third thing that we see in this man, the life of Enoch, was walking it out. He was a witness for God. Now, when a witness is something that bears testimony to the truth. I saw this happen, so therefore I'm a witness of it. So he had a testimony. His testimony was a witness. People are watching our lives. What are you bearing witness to? Are you bearing witness to the truth, or do you get in on their conversation? I'm not sure if God's going to work it out. I'm not sure if God who says, oh, that's just a bunch of Pentecostals over there. Oh, they just believe in all this. Whoa, people are watching our lives. They are watching what we are saying. They're not looking for somebody that's perfect, but they're looking for somebody that's willing to uphold the truth, even when they are going through something. Amen. They're looking for somebody that will hold truth to what the word says. Even if you are walking through something that they may be walking through, you may be the only testimony, the only witness they have of God's healing power, of God's deliverance. As you walk it out, they're looking at your life. And for us to be effective witness in our life, it should reflect our walk with God as we walk it out. Amen. So there was another man in the Bible, and in his place, he was in his place of safety, his place of comfort, and we like that place because there's no challenge there. There's no reason to exert our faith or to believe. This was an unforgettable walk of all times, and it required a step of faith, and we're talking about Peter, whom God calls out of the boat. Wow. First, there is always the call to get up. And we know that walk is related to action. You can't walk standing still. Walking requires action. You may be walking in place, but you're not going anywhere. So walking requires action. Walking requires movement. First, there's always this call to get up. In order to walk, we must first get up. We got to get up. So if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. We were talking about the deep water a while ago. If you want to get to the deep water, the first thing you've got to do is get up and start toward it. So Jesus tells his disciples to get into the boat. He says, we're going to the other side. So the call was sent out. Get in the boat. We're going over here. Well, Jesus didn't get in the boat with them. So you know the story. In the middle of the night, a storm comes up. The boat was battered by the waves, the wind, and the storm. You know the story. So one of the disciples notices what appears to be a ghost walking to them on water. Now you've got to see, this was a boat. This was not a luxury cruise liner. There was no lights on this boat, so it was dark. The wind was blowing. The waves were billowing and beating the boat. So one of the disciples says, hey, something is coming toward us. So they all were terrified. They were all scared and began to cry out in fear. Then they get the call. Jesus speaks to them, assuring them that they are to take heart and not to be afraid. Of all the disciples in the boat, only Peter gets it. Only Peter said, only Peter understood this invitation to get up and start walking. This was a call to get up. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me. He said, didn't say talk about all the others. See, your relationship is between you and God. So Peter says, Lord, if it's you, he was the only one that stood up and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. This is a story about obedience and faith. It's not a risk-taking story. You know, I will try it and see if it works. It's obedience. And it's assurance that if Jesus said come, then he's going to provide a way for you to get there. Amen. So this wasn't foolishness on Peter's part, but faith. It was reassurance. It was Jesus calling. Jesus' response, come. That was the invitation to come for a walk. That is the call. Walk it out, Peter. I'm here. Let's walk it out. So Peter may have thought, I've opened my big mouth again. Nobody else has said anything. Why didn't I keep quiet? Have you ever been in a service and it's just awesome? The Holy Ghost is everywhere, bouncing off everything, everybody. It's just awesome, and you make a commitment to God. Then after you go home, you're laying in bed thinking, mercy, what have I done? Amen. So Jesus' response comes. This is an invitation. So Peter thought, wow, the master had said come. Now I have to decide at that point to get up and get out of the boat. Going to require some action on our part. Now, my place of safety, my place of comfort, I know the wind is beating against the boat. I know that it's dark and I can't see anything. And I know the waves are beating, but I'm secure right here. And if I get out of the boat, it's going to require me to go against the wind, go against the waves. I have found out as I get older, it's not as easy as it was to get up when I was much younger. There are times when I have to put a little bit more effort in getting up. At times, I would just rather stay seated because the pain sometimes of getting up, it's better to stay seated. It's more comfortable to stay seated. That's my comfort zone. That's my safe place. The same can be said of a relationship with God. There are times when you feel great joy, passion, and excitement about being a Christian. There are times when you don't feel it. It's easier to stay seated. It's easier to be quiet. It's easier to be just a come to church, stay in my seat kind of Christian and go home and don't do anything else and next Sunday come back. Because it's easier, it's more comfortable. The boat in the middle of the night, the storm was being tossed to and fro. The water's rough, the waves are high, and I know I cannot walk on water. At least if I stay in the boat, I'm safe. I have something to hold on to. So I issue the challenge today. What is your boat that you're not willing to get out of? When Jesus gives you the invitation to come, let's get this walk on. Let's walk it out. What is the boat of your safety today? Whatever represents safety and security, to you apart from God? What do you put your trust in if it's not God? Money, your job, your success, your education, your looks, how you dress, whatever it is that's holding you back from keeping you walking it out, to keep you from walking it out, keep you back from getting out of the boat and talking and walking with God consistently. But Peter made a decision to get out of the boat, and he answers the call. The moment he takes his focus, though, off Jesus and notices the wind, the waves, and all the things around him, that's when he begins to sink. And that's the same way it is with our life. When he issues the call, get out of the boat, and we say, okay, let's go, God. But the moment we begin to focus on anything else but Jesus, we are going to fail. The very moment that we start thinking it's because of us and what we're doing, we're going to fail. The moment that we begin to give in to the voices and the chatter that's on the outside of us more than we give to the voice of the Holy Spirit that's speaking to us, we're going to sink and we're going to fail. Because church is all about Jesus. And as long as we keep our focus on him, we will never go down and we'll never sink. Amen. So the moment he takes his focus off of him, he gets fearful and begins to sink. And it's the same thing for us. We hear the call to get up. We accept the invitation. Take a walk with me. Let's walk this thing out. And we get our focus off the one who holds us up. We'll begin to sink. But Peter knows Jesus is his strength. And in that moment of panic, he calls out to Jesus. And that's what's so awesome about him. At the times that we do get our focus off him, at the times that we do get distracted, the Holy Spirit is constantly wooing us back to him. So come on now, come on back over here, come on back to here. And he holds our hand, he brings us back into that walk, that agreement, that alignment, that rhythm, that balance where the power is. Amen. So that in moment of panic, he calls out, Lord, save me. And the word says, and immediately comes the reassurance. Jesus reaches out, grabs his hand, and catches him. And I believe he whispers in Peter's ear, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why are you doubting that God's not going to do what he said he would do for you? Have you laid that word on the shelf and it's collected dust? I want to encourage you to get it back off the shelf and begin to prophesy it into the atmosphere again. Because when you begin to speak into the atmosphere, it's going to create an atmosphere for the presence of God to come and do what he said he would do. Life may not be easy outside the boat, but it's a lot more enjoyable. Why? Because we're challenged when we're outside the boat. And sometimes we have to be challenged before we get up and do anything. He does not promise us to be he does promise to be with us and to hold us up in the storms of life. And the word goes on to tell us that Peter and Jesus walked on the water together and they got back in the boat with the other disciples. And we are called to live a life of faith. We are called to live a life of faith. Faith is a daily experience as we walk with God. Walk it out, live by faith in the Lord who has already worked it out for us. And not only that, he already walked it out by going from the garden to the cross and saying that it's finished. And when he did that, it was finished like he said it was. And we've been given everything that pertains to life with godliness in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through right now, keep walking. Walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for overshadowing us, Father. Thank you for giving us a spirit of willingness today, God. Oh, put a hunger inside of us, God, that says we're going to go where you're taking us to be what you're making us, Father. Oh, Jesus, help us to see as you would see and hear as you would hear, God, and not doubt when we hear that voice that says, get up, let's walk this thing out, and whatever we're going through right now, we're going to walk it out with you. The deliverance may not come this second, but we shout victory in the position of victory today. We shout as overcomers in the position of victory today because we know that we are not defeated, but we are overcomers, more than conquerors in you. because you love us, loved us so much that you gave the best gift ever, and that was Jesus that came to save us, to rescue us. Oh, and give us purpose in living life, that we don't have to hang our head in shame, but we can boldly walk in the authority that you've given us, Lord. And with their praise today, we create an atmosphere that's conducive to the Holy Ghost, that says, come, Holy, he has shala boho talasia, meda koho shaya ki hiya ba li toho la bandeye, ah, si koho baba shala ti koho baba basaya, ah, baba li toho la bialia, so malina no shalandi koho bataya, ah, si boko shakali sindiando da dala mandeye, no naladida koho balita shalati ko nanini asaya. Ah, sibosh koho baba la saye mamandili ando sadadea. Ke hali sho lananaya. La baba si ko malinda shananane sitako lutala basia. Ma iso harabashe la badio kalanasia. Ah, sia, ha, sio balindaya. Malito Kuliando Shalanda Sima Baba Sede Diaracomba Baba Deya. Oh Babali say Hemalinda Salabitia La Tandala Nomokuli Damba Sheli Kasia. Oh yes, Lord, Yela Basia Lana Ye Lanina Sanda Menariko Sabalita Shelatiko Malinda Sadaya. Ah so Dadana Ramanda La Si Kulumba Deshe Malita Ko Salabatisiti and the Dake. Oh, yala ni samba babahaya. Ah, sahanda la diara kumba babasia. Ah, yes, the Spirit of the Lord says, look, do you not see it on the horizon? Look, do you not behold and perceive what I'm doing in the earth right now, says God. Oh, yes, there's a great shaking taking place even within this country, says God. But when the shaking stops, you, my church, are going to stand up victorious because that's what I have called you to be, says the Spirit of Grace. So take courage and take heart even today that I am for you and I'm making a way where there seemeth to be no way. Oh, yes, I'll part the river for you. I will part the river for you. And if the days that things seem to be overwhelming, rest in me and know that I have and I will bring all things to you that you need in that place, says the Spirit of the Lord. So rise up and know that I am God, that I am your Redeemer. Oh, come to me, lean into me, and as you lean into me, says the Lord, I have got you covered, and you will know that my Spirit overshadows you, and yes, even all that concerns you, says the Spirit of Grace. Oh, yes, 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 don't doubt that I will not do it for you. Why would I not want to? For you are my child. You are my sons and daughters. And I have called you to come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Even when the winds of life are raging, even when the winds of life have caused an unsettling, come to me. Come to me. Oh, yes, says God. Yes, says God, my favor rests upon you mightily, mightily. You will see breakthrough in those situations that you have prayed to me about, that you have talked to me about, that you have cried to me about. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. As the rain of my Spirit comes and brings a refreshing, even in this time, says God. Ah, yes. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow, wow, wow. Warring angels going forth on your behalf. Send them forth. The warring angels go forth at your command. Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Moving forward in this season as God has called us to. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this word today, Lord. Thank you for this atmosphere that we're in right now, God. Wow. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I called you blessed and highly favored of God. I called you more than conquerors. I called you healed of the Lord. I called you blessed of the Lord. Everything you touch finds favor. Everybody you meet, everybody that you touch feels the presence of God this week. Blessings are running to overtake you. And you've not been left behind in what God is doing right now. And everybody said, amen and amen. Be blessed.